So it's great to be here. Thank you very much for the invitation. I really feel that there's a well, we've been in a moment for a while where many debates for anti-capitalists are really converging. So it's I think it's really useful for revolutionaries and socialists to know about the experiences of comrades in other countries. As Todd told me to me, many people here follow Spain and have some idea of Spain and Spanish politics. I will try to present a bit the history of Podemos and our experience within it, with some concrete aspects. I think it's important when we're discussing another country to realize that the political history, the political situation, the conditions are radically different. So in order to be able to learn from experience, we also have to understand how well the situations are different, not to draw analogies too quickly between organizations or between initiatives and so on. And I think I will try to focus on some of the most organizational debates. I really think that one of the biggest challenges we have in these times is to be able to propose and to build organizations which at the same time appeal broadly and are able to be heard by the large masses, and at the same time to have a good, healthy democratic functioning which allows them to consolidate and to learn from experiences and so on. And I say it's a challenge because I think we have failed repeatedly at it, and in my view is one of the main reasons of many of our failures is the failure to build democratic organizations and massive organizations at the same time. So I will try to reflect on some of the big organizational debates and conflicts we had. I will also participate in a panel this afternoon on left electoral politics and so on. And then I will talk more about our strategic hypotheses and perspectives and the strategic lessons learned over the last years. So, as Todd mentioned, well, I'm a member of Anticapitalistas. This is the Spanish section of the Fourth International. It's a group, in the 60s, 70s, we had the LCR, Revolutionary Communist League in Spain, which was a big revolutionary party. It sort of dissolved at the start of the 90s, and the comrades coming from there regrouped at that time. When I joined in the early 2000s, it was called Espacio Alternativo. It was a small group, a network of activists, not really built across Spain, but mainly existing in some in the main cities. And our focus was on building social movements, participating in different social movements, and trying to build, to bring a revolutionary perspective to these movements while building them as autonomous democratic movements. We, in 2009, we became anti-capitalist left. And we launched an electoral campaign for the European elections, so that was 10 years ago, which was a sort of propagandist campaign, which allowed us to build ourselves as a political group, become known among leftist people, and steadily build ourselves across the country. But we were still a small group with a few hundred members. Since then, in 2011, as you all know, we had the global Occupy movement or Take the Square movement. I really think it was actually a global movement, which over the year 2011, when first during the Arab Spring in December of 2010, then in Spain with the Dignados movement in May, in Greece a few months later. Here with the Occupy movement, there was this massive involvement of many people in politics for the first time, calling for radical change and calling for democracy, and experimenting with self-organizing in the squares. This really changed the face of Spanish politics. It was a movement which had a majority support from the population and which at the same time was in clear opposition to the main ruling parties. So this movement transformed into many things, many initiatives and local social movements against evictions, against privatizations. But the call it had made for a radical change in Spain, after 2-3 years, there was the balance sheet that something was lacking in order to bring on that change. And we had many debates on how to create a political tool which would be able to in a way channel or express or articulate and bring forward this desire for change. So there were different political initiatives, and I must say that often we refer to Podemos or to its leader as the main the center of all this thing, but the truth is that in Spain we've had a great plurality of what we call the space of change, that is the different organizations which we have a radical position and an opposition to the Spanish regime, and this is still the case today, even more than a few years ago. In order to understand the process of change and of organization in Spain, we don't need only to focus on Podemos, but on different movements and organizations which exist across the country. Knowing that our country is also a plurinational one, we have different nations within the Spanish state, and that means that often the political reality is quite diverse across it. As anti-capitalistas, well, at the time we were called the Izquierda Anticapitalista, we were part of this discussion on how to create a new political tool, and we brought in a proposal which actually was greatly successful. It was the initiative of building Podemos. Podemos was built by the anti-capitalist left, was launched, let's say, by the anti-capitalist left, together with comrades and friends who were independent and who came from different political traditions, namely Pablo Iglesias, who was a political science teacher in Madrid, and who had done a very interesting experience of building a TV program, a TV political debate program, in which we had participated too, and which was an interesting experiment in terms of learning how to speak politics in not in our usual language and format, but in a format such as a TV program, which is in fact the format through which the great majority of the population receive and reflect on politics. So it was really a learning process where we understood how to, in the format of half an hour political debate and having all kinds of different opinions, be able to put our message forward. This Pablo Iglesias became more known when he started to be invited to right-wing political debates, and where he was very good at attacking the right-wingers and really putting them in a difficult situation. This created some popularity around him, and we convinced him to launch this initiative. The way in which Podemos was presented at first was as we had first the idea that there were many demands coming from the social movements which were shared very widely, even by a majority of the population, the fact of stopping evictions, of doing a great democratic change of the Spanish state, of defending public services, of ending corruption, gaining new social rights out of the crisis situation. All these ideas were ideas that many people shared, and the idea was to build a political force on the base of on it, but with the clear principle that it was to be a radically democratic organization. It was in fact presented as and thought of at first as a new political tool for the people, so not a party among the other parties, but a sort of structure which would allow people to organize themselves and to be heard outside of the traditional party system. One of the interesting things about Podemos, which was part of its success but also brought in many problems, is that it was and still is a party in which anyone can join without paying any dues. Actually, you can join Podemos just by the internet, introducing your data and so on, and that means you can vote in all the internal processes and decisions of Podemos. The first such big decision was to constitute a list to an electoral ballot to go to the European elections in 2014. So this European election campaign was our first campaign. Anyone could actually present itself as a candidate, and anyone could vote on the candidates. And in this way, we had a primary election, which was a record in Europe. Actually, it was at the time, and maybe it still is, I'm not sure, the most widely participated primary election in the history of the European elections. We had 35,000 people actually voting on the list. So the first in the list was Pablo Iglesias. The second on the list at the time was Teresa Rodriguez, who is a comrade of anti-capitalistas. This campaign was a huge success. It managed to spark a process of mobilization. So during those months in the running to the European election, we had actually a self-organizing process, and we called for the constitution of circles, sort of committees, local committees, in order to build this campaign. And the dynamic it took, it sort of reminded us strongly of the Indignatus movement. That is, we had people meeting in squares. All the meetings that were called inside were always, as you say, there were too many people, so they wouldn't fit in the room. So often we would finish in the squares meeting. And it was actually through this revival of the mass mobilization that we managed to breakthrough into the political scene. The election was a big success with five MEPs elected. I must say that we had never, at least from anti-capitalistas, we had never thought that it would be possible. We thought that maybe we would be able to get one MEP and member of the European Parliament, and then we would see what would happen. When the campaign was really going well, we said, okay, we're definitely going one MEP, let's see if we can get Teresa also elected, that would be great. And the night of the election, we realized that we have got five MEPs, so that's five out of the 52 MEPs that get elected in Spain. That was a very interesting moment, and I must say that what Pablo Iglesias did that night surprised us, because we were anti-capitalistas. We were like, okay, this is great, this is a great success, we must in a way celebrate. He did a speech that night where he said, we had a good result, but this is not enough. Tomorrow, people will still be unemployed. Next week, people will still be evicted from their houses, so this is not enough for us. We are aiming for victory. And this position, this very ambitious and far-looking idea of, okay, we're building a tool not just to get a small representation and to build ourselves or to make our voice heard, but we are actually planning to take power, is in a way what created a great, say, hype around Podemos, or interest around Podemos. And I think it's not just about hype, but about the fact, the lesson that when you want to build a mass organization, you have to be able to propose something that people can think of as being able to transform their lives and transform the political situation. So the idea that we had a new force that would struggle to get to power was, and that had much more nicer and better proposals than all the other parties, was able to create this mass interest for Podemos, which meant that in the months after that, this was in May 2014, I think at some point in February 2015, the polls gave us as the first political force in Spain. So the perspective of actually taking the Spanish government was real, and it was the hypothesis in which we were on which we were working. Those months after the election, were also the months in which Podemos actually constituted itself as a party, as a political organization. And it's, well, I must say that for me it has been one of the most traumatic experiences in my life, because the conflicts and the shifts that we had in that process were really strong. To talk about the weaknesses already at that time, among the different people who had built Podemos, our organization, and different independent people, from the start, unfortunately, we didn't have a real space or organ or body where we could collectively decide on politics and on what should we do. So very quickly there was an autonomization of the spokesperson, Pablo Iglesias, and the people around him, who taking the position of experts in communication and in how to address the media and so on, gained a big autonomy from the rest of the organized, self-organized movement around Podemos. So it has been quite a paradoxical experience, because at the same time, Podemos is regarded as a radically democratic organization, and that's what draws the interest of many towards it. At the same time, within Podemos, I think we have never achieved to have a real democratic debate and democratic procedures. So in a way you could say Podemos is very democratic. I would say it was at the time, in the sense that it was actually involving many new people in politics, and it was putting into the political scene many debates that were actually shaking the consciences of many people and involving many people, but in terms of the inner deciding and the inner structuring, well, there was in fact not such thing as that. So over those months, there was a great tension between this leading group who was taking care of the big decisions and so on, and all the circles that had organized across the country and which were willing to build the organization. And what we had in the first Congress is a sort of a struggle between these two poles, which in a way was a very productive struggle. On the one side having a self-organized movement, and on the other side having a very professional and coherent body of people who were able to think very quickly about what messages to put forward and what proposals to make. But unfortunately, this tension really turned into a deep conflict. In a way, this leading group saw the self-organizing circles as a sort of obstacle and menace to their autonomy and to their ability to build a coherent strategy. So this tension between these two poles of the organization also was translated into a political fight between the group around Pablo Iglesias and the group around Anticapitalistas, knowing that for us the essential thing was to build the circles and the committees and to be able to build a broad self-organized and radically democratic organizations, and them who in their minds had the right political theory which would lead them to victory, and which was mainly based on a sort of communication strategy. They actually won the first Congress, and the way they did it, it was very traumatic for us, because as I mentioned, everybody could participate in Podemos. This meant that there were several hundred thousand people who were actually voting in the Congress. They were not necessarily participating in meetings or electing delegates. The whole debate process would lead to a moment where emails get sent to everyone, and they decide on which documents to vote and which ballots to support. And the Iglesias leadership consciously tried to oversimplify the debates and essentially turn the different organizational debates into an option where do you support Pablo Iglesias, or are you against Pablo Iglesias? Knowing that Pablo Iglesias was a spokesperson for Arsenal and was a central piece of the project, we were not willing to throw him out or propose another spokesperson. But in a way, the group around him used his popularity towards the mass of people who were actually only participating through the internet to win this election. So the structure that was constituted from them was a structure which was completely parallel to the circles. So the circles did not have any actual role or position whether within the organization, but rather the leadership, both the national leadership and the regional and local leadership, were elected through a internet vote where Iglesias would present his own candidates. So in that first process of constituting the organization, he would present Pablo Iglesias' list across the nation and so on. It's not that I want to attack Pablo Iglesias and so on, but what I want to make an explain precisely is how the organization was built, because it draws, I think, many lessons on what went well and what didn't go so well. And for us, it was a learning process also. We came from this assembly principle where we want everything to be democratically self-organized and so on, and often we didn't see the importance of actually having a good communication strategy, and also of the importance of building public leaderships, a public spokesperson figure which were able to appeal broadly. We realized that the mass of people understand politics through personal figures. I support this guy, I like what she says, I like him, and so on. And that's one of the main ways in which people get connected to politics. So to be able to be heard, we realize that you need to have people who sort of embody what you say and which are able to express politically what collectively you want to say. There, of course, the challenge is to build such spokespersons, which at the same time are comfortable and are able to do their thing as a spokesperson, but at the same time are accountable to the majority. And this was not an easy task at all. We did manage, and we understood from Anticapitalistas this need to have a good spokesperson. And in the figures of Teresa Rodriguez, who was elected to the parliament in 2014, and then Miguel Urban and a few other comrades, to have public spokesperson, which also helped us a lot in order to maintain our positions and to participate in the organization and in the debates. This meant after the first Congress that Anticapitalistas, and this is a process that has been going on until now, has been gradually being put out of the organization. So right now we hold the leadership of Podemos in Andalucía, so that's the biggest region in Spain, in the south of Spain, and we still hold a member of the European Parliament, Miguel Urban, with whom I have worked for the last 5 years. But these are virtually all the positions we still gain have in Podemos, knowing that the committees in the base have gradually dissolved or become very toxic, and that the internal structure has become very dependent on elected positions, and that the process to elect to carry primaries and to elect the people to office has been very much controlled by the center of the organization. The fact is that we have been sort of put out of the of Podemos, except in Andalucía and in the European Parliament. Also, our comrades have at the start we all participated in Podemos, but gradually, as the circles became more toxic and less interesting, we got back to building movements and so on. So, which is actually a good thing. Overall, this hard political conflict that we had at the start of Podemos meant also that as Anticapitalistas we were forced to organize ourselves very strongly, to centralize ourselves. The different conflicts we had allowed us also to homogenize ourselves and to build a common understanding of politics. We have actually strongly grown over the last years. We have steadily grown, and our main yearly event, the Summer University, which is comparable to this this conference held at the start of the end of the summer, has become one of the main forums for political debate in Spain. I will put forward a few more points. It's important to say that in 2015 we had great victories in the local governments in Spain. This, in part, was facilitated by a decision taken in the first Congress of Podemos, where we decided, and this was a proposal of the majority, not to contest the local elections as Podemos. In their view, they were mainly scared that if we were to build political Podemos candidates in all the local elections, in all the Spanish cities, there was the risk of not being able to control this process. But what was decided, and which turned out very well, is to participate in broad coalitions, to build popular coalitions together with other political forces and social movements. So this actually happened, and as I said, there's a great plurality of organizations and movements in Spain, which also understood the need to contest this kind of municipal, local town elections. And the main cities were actually won by this candidature. So Madrid, Barcelona, Cádiz, Valencia, and many other cities were born by this new political movement. 4 years later, we had the elections this year, and unfortunately, most of them have been lost. Cádiz, which is a city in the Atlantic south coast of Spain, which is held by a mayor belonging to the Capitalistas. He's actually also the only mayor actually belonging to Podemos. It has been the only main city where we have been able to win. Kichi, our comrade, has a great popular support. So it's the only actual city where we have won, and with a great majority, which allows us to continue to rule without looking for agreements with the Socialist Party and so on. This experience of the local governments has been very good, although again a lot of lessons have to be drawn. I think that these governments have been able to carry many progressive policies, but unfortunately, and for me the most important example is the example of Madrid, where the mayor was an old judge who, coming from a sort of progressive background, who had a very radical discourse running to the election, but who in fact very quickly after the election turned to the idea that we have to get everyone in board, and we have to rule for everyone, that meaning also the big corporations who actually make big business with the urban development of Madrid. So, but at the same time, in this Madrid local government, there were people elected from anti-capitalistas, from the autonomous left, from Izquierda Unida, so the different radical left forces. The primary election for this Madrid election was actually democratic and proportional, so we had these positions, and the comrades who have been part of the local government at all times have been able to stand coherently for our political positions, voting against, for instance, these big urban developments and so on. It has been a good experience of, among different political currents of the left, being able to build together radical political proposals for the city of Madrid. After a conflict between the finance councillor in Madrid, who's actually a Trotskyist comrade coming from another current, and who did a very good work with the finances of Madrid, actually increasing the taxes for big enterprises and in the richest neighborhoods, at the same time decreasing taxes in the most popular neighborhoods. He was able to dramatically improve the finances of the city of Madrid, but when he tried to, when he came into a conflict with the national Spanish government, who was calling for cuts and stopping any increase in social expenditure and so on, actually the mayor took the side of the national government and dismissed our friend and comrade. Well, so this this minority section of the Madrid government actually ran in an independent ballot in the last elections. We were very close, but we didn't manage to get a representation. It was a pity. And it also meant, well, the whole situation meant that the government was lost, not because of us. The main difference is that the Socialist Party went down and they were also voting for the mayor. So overall, it has been a defeat in Madrid. Over this period also, there has been a very strong campaign of the, I think you would say, the deep state in Spain against Podemos, and this has been only known recently, but we have learned that over the year 2015 and so on, a special group depending from the interior minister, composed by policemen, were engaged in forging false documents against Podemos, trying to prove that we were financed by Venezuela, and they actually met with a guy here in the States, coming an ex-minister from Venezuela, and paid him a sum of money in order for him to say that he had actually paid money to us. So this was shown this last year, but in the meanwhile, I think it really hit hard on us, because when you speak with a lot of people, they say, yeah, Pablo Iglesias is a Venezuelan guy, where's the Venezuelan money, and so on. It all has been proven to be false, but in the meanwhile, it was effective. There has been also a differentiation among what I've been calling the Iglesias group. Actually, you had Íñigo Errejón, who was his sort of lieutenant, the political secretary of Podemos. Among them too, well, they have different political approaches. I would say that whereas Pablo Iglesias comes more from an Euro-communist, he actually comes from the communist youth, so he has this perspective, and Pablo Iglesias, Errejón is more inspired by the Latin American populist perspective experiences with a postmodern view, Laclau reading of all these things. So he's, in fact, even if he doesn't say so publicly, his main reference is the Argentinian Peronism and the most postmodern view of it. So that there was these political differences among them, but also, in fact, what we have had, unfortunately, is a power struggle among them. And at the moment that Iglesias realized that Errejón was actually not loyal to him, but actually building his own thing within the party, there was a split, which was, in the end, taking us to the recent election, where Errejón contested. He was supposedly the candidate for Podemos from Madrid, but he actually, in the run-up to the election, built his own party with the Madrid mayor and contested the elections outside of Podemos. So we had two ballots coming from Podemos to the Madrid election. And it is likely that Errejón in the coming period will launch a new political organization, which is well inspired in the European Greens and in a, I would characterize as a social liberal perspective. So in a way, a whole part of the Podemos experience, mainly the people who were technically involved in the launching of Podemos, which had not a clear political perspective, have shifted to a project of renewing the elites, I would say, talking about democratic change, but with very weak proposals in political terms. And well, this is also an important setback for our movement. The current, I will finish with a couple more things. the current context is difficult. We've had also for the first time, we have a far right organization in Spain with a representation in the government. It's called in the parliament. It's called Vox. So it's a populist right reactionary force, homophobic, anti-feminist, and neoliberal in terms of policies. It's a break from the popular party, so the right-wing party. They were not so successful as we feared in the last election, but it is a new factor in Spanish in Spanish politics. As the electoral result, actually this year we had all the elections in Spain, so we had the general election, local, regional, and European elections. The result for Podemos, well, we have gone back a bit. I think the electoral result is not so bad as the fact that actually the Podemos organization as such is very weak in terms of organization. Across the regions, we have seen how this the leadership that were built through this process I described previously have turned out to be unsurprisingly very, very weak and very opportunistic. So, and the lack of a way to decide and to have collective debates in order to improve and to learn the lessons has led to an organization which is very weak. I don't think that the prospects are necessarily bleak. We have this problem of the political organization which is running through a great crisis. At the same time, there's still a great space for radical politics in Spain. We across Europe over the last years we have had great social movements. The feminist strike in the 8th March has been in Spain the most massive, and there's a great wave of radicalization among the youth, also on ecological issues. As you may know, there has been great mobilizations across the youth. The political situation is not stable in Spain. The parties have great difficulties to form government. So I think we are still in a moment where the situation is open, although there's clearly a sort of reactionary setback and a moving to more conservative positions of many of the political actors. At the same time, I think the situation is open. So as anti-capitalistas, we will have a conference this year. It was just decided last weekend, and it will run up to December in order to decide on our proposals for the coming period. I leave it here for now and open to discussion.